Morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Happy Chinese New Year. I'm really enjoying this worshiping. It's a great one. And it's even greater. That's our Lord himself, right? So today I will share a short message from Gospel Luke. So I use the title, Not Deserving, But Believing. That's from a short story, Luke chapter 7, from verse 1 to verse 10. And before we start, shall we bow our head and have a word of prayer? Dear Father in heaven, we're so thankful again for this wonderful privilege we can gather in Lord Jesus' name, and we can worship him, and we can enjoy his love. Lord, help us today in this bit of time, study your word. May we all like this centurion. Say, Lord, it's not that I'm deserved, but it's because your love. I want to believe in you. We pray that all of us today who come into this gathering can say, Lord, I want to believe in you. We pray in Lord Jesus' name. Amen. So this is a very special time because we are in a Chinese New Year celebration. So we understand that every time when we say Chinese New Year, we'll say blessing, right? I believe in the past 2 days, most of you already exchanged a lot of greetings and blessings word with your family members and with your friend. And you know what? All blessings are from the Lord. So God is the source of all blessings. But actually, he is love. God is love. So he wants to bless us. This is true. This is the fact. But the problem is we are sinners. So we are sinners. We tend to do one thing. That's we want to buy the blessings from him. We want to say, okay, look at me. I'm good. So I come to this chapel. I come to the Lord and say, I did this. I did that. So why not you bless me? But you know what? That's one thing we cannot buy. That's life, right? If you are so good, why not buy your life first? Life is so, the cost is so high, so invaluable that we cannot afford. So now we have the dilemma. So no matter how we make any effort, we cannot pay this price, the price of life. How God solved this problem? So God paid the price of life. The price is paid by his son, the only begotten son, Lord Jesus himself. He died for our sin on the cross, and he wants to give this blessing, this very blessing, the blessing of life. Why I said the very blessing? Because this is the greatest of all blessings, right? Maybe you may want to send your family members a blessing of maybe a good health this year, or maybe the blessing to your daughter or your son, a good study this year. But every one of us, we need this very blessing, the blessing of life, because we are sinner, and the consequence of sin is death. So he paid the price, and he wants to give this blessing to us. The greatest blessing to us, how we can get this. So this is the theme of this short message. How we can get this. How could we get the blessing of life? Tell God how good I am. So why you come to this chapel this time today? You come to the chapel and talk to the Lord. Look at me, how good I am. Or I simply say to him, Lord, I believe in you. We have a good example in this short message. That's Luke chapter 7, verse 1 to verse 10. We'll study verse by verse of this short message, and then we know how we can get this great blessing. And if you have Bible, you can turn with me to this chapel, or to this chapter, the chapter 7, Luke, Gospel Luke. Verse 1, now when he concluded all his saying in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. So he is our Lord Jesus. This is a true story recorded in Gospel Luke. In verse 2, and a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. Verse 3, so when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. I'll pause here to meditate a little bit about these three verses. This is the start of this story. And we know that, okay, when Lord Jesus finished one important ministry, and then there comes a need. The need is one centurion. He's a ruler. He's a soldier. He's not only a plain soldier. He's a ruler. And he had a dear servant who was sick, almost dying. And he pleaded through some elders of Jew to Jesus, ask help from Jesus. Very simple. And then we can meditate a bit of what do we learn from these several verses. Firstly, is what's special about this centurion? Firstly, this centurion is a Gentile, right? Right. So think about the old days when Lord Jesus was ministering in Israel. Who is the ruler? Roman, right? Roman Empire, right? So centurion means this person is a soldier of Roman, and he's a ruler in this land, right? He came from I don't know, it's not from this place. He came to ruling this we can call it a colony, right? So which means he's not educated when he was young by Mosaic law, right? Moses' law. No, he just like you and me. So you see, we are just like the centurion, right? We don't have any Jewish background. But what should we learn from this brother? The second point is he had a dear servant. Notice this word dear. Notice this word servant. Okay, today we don't have servant, right? We don't have employee and employer, right? But think about it. If you are employee, would your employer care about you more than your work? Think about it. Would him say, oh, how about you take a rest? Is that possible? No. But think about it. Employee and employer, you are equal, right? A servant is not. On those days, servant is not equal, was not equal to the master. But how come a servant could be dear? Right? You can have a dear brother. You can have a dear wife or husband. You can have a dear mom, dear son. How come you have a dear servant? Who care, really care about someone inferior to him? And inferior to an extent, only a humble servant. So this person, this centurion, the special is, he not only care, love one lower than him, but also intercede, pleaded for him. And because of time, I will not move on to the Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, another recording of this story, in verse 6 said, he cared about the suffering of this servant. So which means he's not care about the work of servant. So I may care about the servant because servant is so important. I may care about the employee. If this guy is absent, my project will collapse. I truly will care him. When you recover and can come back to work, I really don't care about how suffering you are, right? I care about your schedule. But the Bible recorded very clearly, he care about the suffering of the servant. They remind you about Lord, right? Yeah, just like the Lord. Okay, the next point is, he heard about Jesus, right? He's a soldier, he's a ruler, so he had his own job. He cannot just like all those, like all the other Jews, follow Jesus from this place to that place, this city to that city. He cannot enjoy the five loaves and two fishes with the Lord because he has his duty. He had his duty to fulfill, but he heard about Jesus. That's exactly like you and me, right? In the past 5 days, you may need to work. You said, if I don't work, how can I feed my children? How can I feed myself? Fair enough. But do you have Bible? Yeah. Do you have free time to read it? Yeah. Do you hear about Jesus? Yeah. But what's your response? And how about this guy's response, this brother's response? He heard and that he believed. So don't argue that, today I didn't see Jesus. If I see him, I can believe in him. So this brother, this centurion, exactly like you and me, he heard about Jesus. He believed in Jesus. What did he hear? What did he hear? Exactly the same as the recording in the Bible, right? He hear the same thing as the book, these four Gospels in your hand. And after he heard about Jesus and he believed, he pleaded through Jews. Well, remember, he's not a normal soldier. He has 100 people, 100 soldiers below him. He has some power in his hand. He can easily approach Jesus and even commanded this person. Jesus, at that moment, he was just a 30 years old carpenter, right? He's just a Jew, a young Jew, in everybody's eye, earthly eye. Why did this ruler, this centurion, just went to Jesus and order and request him to help? He humbled himself. Okay, let's move on. Okay, in verse 4, continue in this chapter. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly. So they are those Jews' elders, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Notice this word, deserving. Okay, what did we learn from these two verses? One is that, let's have a look at the face of Jewish elders. What's the face of the Jewish elders? They beg him earnestly. Oh, this is good. This is really good because they believe Jesus could heal, right? How should we approach Jesus? Tell Jesus how good I am? No. I said, Jesus, I need your help. Help me. Okay? Believe in Jesus' power and his strength. But something wrong with these elders, these Jewish elders, because they said this person, the centurion, was deserving. Why he said this guy is deserving? Because this man was deserving. He was good because he was good, right? He did some immense good things. But you know what? That's not the motivation of the centurion. What's the motivation of centurion? It's for he loves our nation. Why centurion build the synagogue? Synagogue is just like a gathering place, just like the chapel building here, right? So chapel building for us, the synagogue for Jewish. So this person is good. He built up a synagogue, a building for Jewish, for Jews to gather. But he did that. It's not because He want to earn some deserving things. He want to love these people because he love our nation. So the centurion's motivation was not marriage, but love, right? But build us a synagogue. But the theology of the Jewish elders is what? Is one who has married deserves it. Well, this is something we should be careful. Do you have merit? Maybe. But never use that to exchange the blessing of Lord. Especially the greatest blessing of all, your life. So this person, he did something good, but the elders interpreted in the wrong way. Okay, let's continue. In verse 6, then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. Continually, he said twice, I'm not worthy. Not worthy means not deserving. I'm not deserving, right? So what do we learn from here? The face of the centurion is like this. He sent friends. And then in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, we know that he not only sent friends, afterwards he went to Jesus by himself. He sent friends, and then he pleaded himself. So this is not a polite, this is true belief. He showed his humility, and he told Jesus that I'm not deserved. I just really believe your word. So this is real, right? And then he said, I'm not worthy. When he said, I'm not worthy, he need to put down a lot of things. Let me count. Okay. First, he need to put down his identity as a centurion, right? A centurion pleaded or humbly requested to a young carpenter. This is something we need to think about it. And secondly, he's pleading for a servant, right? It's not for himself. It's not for his children. We know that in the Bible, in the Gospels, a lot of parents begged help, cry out for help from Jesus for their children, right? But not this centurion. This time it's a servant. And he has some merit to boast if he wanted. He built it, synagogue. This is not some small thing. Think about if someone built this building for us, could he come into this building and say, look at me? Well, this is temptation, right? He may tell you, do you know who built this building? Huh? Right? Yeah. He never mentioned it. Who mentioned it? The elders, right? Okay. And lastly, did you notice that he says, say the word. He tells Jesus, say the word. I believe in the strength and the power of your word. Do you have the faith like that? Say, Lord, I believe in your word. Behind me, there's a word. And this word has power. Do you believe that? If you believe in this word, you are saved. This is true. Okay, let's move on. Out of time. Yeah, for I also verse 8, for I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. So he used analogy. This analogy is from his own experience, right? He was a ruler. He was a boss. So someone under him. So he truly understand that his word has power. So long as he speaks something, this thing will be fulfilled by his soldiers. So he believed that Lord Jesus has the same power. So we continue to have a look at his faith. So he believed in God's authority. He not only believed in God's authority, he believed that authority can be achieved through words. If you never read the Bible, the first time you read the Bible, you open the first page, you read the first page, you know that God created everything in this world by word, right? So this brother, this centurion, he got the point. He knew that if you believe in God's word, you have his power. And he not only believed in his mind, he believed in his heart. So once he believed God's word, he committed himself to God and do it. Sometimes we tend to believe in our mind and say, I believe in that. And that's it. But he believed, he said, no need to come into my house. Right? If I say, God, I truly believe in your word, why not you come into my house and do something to my servant? And give him a prescription. This is not true belief. Right? Okay, let's move on. The last two verses. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent returning to the house found the servant well who had been sick. Simple, but marvelous, right? And think about Jesus here. Only twice in the Gospels that Jesus marveled at somebody's faith. One positive, one negative. The first time is Mark 6, verse 6. He marveled at those unbelief of those people in his hometown. But this time, he marveled at the centurion's faith in interceding for his servant. We understand that marvel does not mean that God has some surprise. No, not here. He just tells us, what did he care in us? Right? Just like my boss, earthly boss may only care my work, right? Can I work some extra hours? That what he did, truly cared. But what did Jesus care in me? Faith. Do I have the faith that even make the Lord marvel at? Marvel means this faith level is above average or below average. So let's have a look at the last point. The such great faith, not even in Israel. That's what Jesus said. Such great faith, not even in Israel. Are you a Jew? No, right? Can you believe in the Lord? Yes, right? So did God differentiate people by race or by grace and faith? Grace and faith is the foundation, not race. Do you have the faith? Don't worry about the grace. The grace is always there. Grace is already ready for 2,000 years. Grace is already there in your whole life. Even before you know him, think about your faith. Do you have enough faith to take the grace home? Do you believe in him? He loved you, he loved me, he loved everyone, but he's waiting for your decision. Okay, finally, let's have some summary for this short message. So firstly is the grace. So the price of life is too great for anyone to bear. It can only come from the Lord's blessing. If you want to have blessing, maybe the earthly people can subsidize you financially, but he cannot take you out of the hell. That's true. Only Jesus can. And he already made the sacrifice. He died for your sin. He paid the price. And this is the grace in front of you. It's free. It's not you something to buy, just by your faith. And what's the meaning of faith? So faith means putting aside many proud identities, thinking himself is not worthy. Thinking yourself is not worthy, putting aside anything that you want to boast. And then you know that grace is truly you need. Think about this centurion. He had many things that he can boast, right? He's a centurion. He's a foreign ruler. He has achievements in building synagogues. He loves servants. He has good deeds of intercession for servants. He's probably even famous among those Jews. You see, those Jewish elders can, as a whole, come to Jesus, pleading for him. But he never mentioned even single word when he prayed to the Lord, right? Not even a single word. Okay, let's have a look at the summary point, word. If we have the grace, if we have the faith, what do we believe? Faith means believing, right? What do we believe? We believe in his word. We did not see him face to face from my earthly eye, from my flesh, but you know what? The centurion was the same, right? So don't complain. Think about this centurion. He knew Lord Jesus also the same as you from his word. He believed in Lord Jesus better than you because he believed in his word. He said, if you say something, that's enough. I believe that your word can heal my servant. Now lastly is, do you know in this story, there are three servants. The servant of centurion, the centurion himself, and Lord Jesus. Did you notice that? The servant of centurion, in his service, he built up a great relationship with the centurion. Centurion humbled himself as a servant to plead for his servant. But Lord Jesus, he actually is the true servant. He humbled himself all the way from heaven to here and paid the price, the huge price for you and me. And he's waiting for your decision. Who is the true servant? The centurion is just an example. But Lord Jesus is the true servant. He never asked anything from us. You may say, okay, look at me, I did this, I did that. Yeah, maybe that's true. Even you made this building for us. Even you built a synagogue. But can you see any word in the Bible that Lord Jesus boasted things he did? Did you see any time God boasted that he gave you sunshine, give you rain, give you breath, give you food, give you energy? Your single moment is from his blessing. Did you see any time that God said, look at me, I did this, I did that? No. Why he always highlighted the life blessing to us, the blessing of life to us? That's not for him, that's for you and me, right, my friend? Why God always highlighted John 3:16 to us? Because that's not for him. If you don't believe, any harm to him? He's not boasting, look at me, I died for you. He's saying, why dying, my friend? You are dying, you don't know which will come first, tomorrow or eternity. Why delay for another day? For him? No. It's for you. He's a true servant. He come here to serve you in a way to save you. And he so loved you that he wants to come down to your level. Not at a high level, command you to receive. He come down to even lower than you, to plead that you receive his salvation. Is there any more inferior servant than him? More humble servant than him? I cannot imagine in this world. What's the message in the Bible? Believe in his son. Never delay again. Just today. Today is a day of salvation. If you are not saved, accept him as your true servant, your savior. Do you want to believe in the true servant? Yes or no? Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful for this wonderful message. Lord, we are not deserving. We come to the chapel for our life. We approach Jesus to be saved. What a simple message. What a powerful message. Lord, bless all these people who come in today who are not saved. Touch their heart. This is a message just for him or her. Save them. Don't let them go without any change in their heart. Make them to believe in your son, the true servant's name, the most precious name in the world, Jesus' name. We pray in his name.